The episode you're about to listen to is from a previously unreleased incarnation of The Away Team. This was from a 2015 series that was strictly devoted to Star Trek The Next Generation, in which these episodes covered the first two seasons of the series. Many of these episodes haven't been heard since they were deleted from the internet in 2018. Sit back and enjoy.
Captain Archer of the battlecruiser Enterprise.
This is Captain James Kirk of the USS Enterprise.
This is Jean-Luc Picard, captain of the Enterprise.
This is Captain Sisko of the USS Defiant.
My name is Catherine Janeway.
Prune juice, chilled.
Welcome to The Away Team, a Star Trek podcast. A podcast that is designed to comment and critique each episode of Star Trek in canonical order, with a bit of a twist. Welcome, everybody, to The Away Team podcast, our new podcast on the Lazy Geeks Network. Like, we don't have enough to do.
Yeah.
At this particular
I was like, you know, there's 1 week a month where we only do one podcast.
Yet I still do another podcast. And that.
We shouldn't have a break. We should just...
Because that's how people get lazy.
Oh, shit. That's right. You get complacent, and then just shit starts falling through the cracks, and then before you know, you're homeless, living under a fucking bridge, eating rats for dinner.
Wow, that was... Hey, man. A little too precise to be off the cuff.
The sad thing is it was off the cuff. Reality's a cruel bitch.
Yeah. I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
And this is the brainchild of Adam.
Much as all ideas from the... No, I'm just kidding.
And this was actually started as a joke on, what was it, 184? Yeah. Where we were talking about how... Because Adam got on the Star Trek kick again, and he's been just watching all The Next Generation. And he was just like, we should totally do one. Like, we should totally do a Star Trek. And I was like, yeah, that'd be kind of funny. And then after thinking about it, I'm like, that would be kind of cool, because... You have all these different Star Trek pods that deal with, like, the rumors or story or just, I don't know, you know, whatever news that's floating around the Star Trek universe, which, believe it or not, there's not a whole lot.
No, and it's all unless it's pertaining to a movie.
Right. And it was kind of like, well, you know, that would be kind of cool to just go back and to start the Next Generation and just kind of, it's kind of a pet project, really.
Well, that was, like, my thing. Like, I was like, okay. I always try to listen to Star Trek podcasts, but it just ends up with people really talking about nothing because there's nothing really going on.
Yeah.
Because no one's talking about the reboot movies. There's nothing really to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, shit, the first two movies, they barely left Sector 001.
Right.
There's really nothing to talk about. But what you have is you just have huge fans who do these podcasts, and they just talk about silly shit that happened, and it's fun, but you know, I already know pretty much what they're talking about, so I don't really care. So I thought it would be interesting, why don't we take and we'll start at fucking season one, episode one, and we'll just talk about that episode, and the next podcast will be the next episode. Now this episode's a little special because there's no point in separating Encounter and Farpoint. Because it even when it first aired, it was aired as a
2-hour movie. Yeah, it was aired as a 2-hour movie.
I think it's only separated in fucking Netflix.
No,
actually, it's not even separated in Netflix.
No, it's not separated in Netflix. Yeah. Not even on the... I think on the DVDs it might be. I don't remember.
So it just didn't make any sense to separate that. I think we'd probably do that with the rare times when Next Generation has a two-parter.
Yeah.
Just fucking do it.
Because it makes more sense. Because it's like you go right up to the break and to be continued. You know, it's like, no, you kind of want to, which means a lot of the season finales and season openers will be discussed in one podcast, most likely.
Still the most painful to be continued out of any show I've ever seen.
Mr. Worf, fire.
Yeah.
What? Fuck you.
I know. I remember. I still remember watching that, like, when it aired, and then seeing the "To Be Continued" and, like, screaming, going, "What? No!"
I threw everything I could reach at the television. I was so pissed off. I think I cried a little bit.
Because you're like, no, I have to wait 3 fucking months. Fuck you.
Well, I was a little kid, too. I think I was like 8 watching Star Trek.
Oh, my God.
I was terrified when I first saw that episode. I was like, what's happening? These fucking robot monsters.
Yeah, because it was the first time that you had, like, you know, the enemy kind of winning at that point, especially in a Star Trek episode. Because at that point, there was never the risk was never that high. And it was just like, what?
However, our quick discussion about that episode is just a teaser for a future podcast.
Right.
Because today, we're discussing Encounter at Farpoint.
Far less on the dramatic scale.
Yes, and not from the strongest season of the show. However,
at least this season did not end with a bottle episode, which dealt with Riker's flashbacks. So, worst episode ever.
that was a savings episode. Oh, see, yeah. Star Trek, every television series has savings episodes where they do it on a low budget to kind of, you know, put a little slack on the on everything. Star Trek, it was really, really obvious when they did. Yeah. It was always focused on just one character mostly. And like everyone else, like, had a quick role.
The ship hat was in space dock or something, so there was nobody on the ship, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what was that one with
Picard? There were no aliens involved.
Right. Or if there were like 3.
And, or it was Worf, which doesn't really count.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah. So in the way this podcast is going to be set up, if there's any kind of Star Trek news, we will talk about it in the very beginning, but then mostly deal with the episode. So 2 little tidbits. Did you want to go with the
yours? Yeah, so obviously most of this news is going to be about the new movies, which is fine. Nothing wrong with that.
It's still Star Trek related.
Yes, it is. So recently, Simon Pegg, who plays Scotty in the new movies, was talking about the overall tone that they're trying to achieve with the third film. As we know, the first and second had a pretty dark tone to it. I mean, Earth was almost destroyed in the first one. Vulcan was destroyed in the first one.
Right.
And then the whole thing with Khan, which I thought were both well done. I know there's a lot of criticism about both movies. The only thing that's been pissing me off about the reboot is that they never leave Sector 001.
Right. There's, like, no exploration.
What's the point of having a fucking spaceship that can go faster than the speed of light if you're never going to leave the solar system? Right. Like, stop fucking around. I mean, I know they went to Vulcan, but that doesn't really count. There's nothing there. So, so Peg said, where's the quote? Here we go. We just want to take it forward with the spirit of the TV show. And it's a story about frontierism and adventure and optimism and fun. And that's where we want to take it, you know, where no man has gone before, where no one has gone before, sensibly corrected for a slighter, more enlightened generation. He's referencing they changed that in TNG because it was in the original show. It said where no man has gone before.
Yeah,
because women were,
well, technically it was supposed to be used for mankind, but because we got into the politically correct thing, people got stupid.
Yeah, and because I know back then when you said they were just trying to say humans.
Yeah,
basically. But then the 70s happened,
right? And then
too many bras were burned for that kind of nonsense.
So you couldn't sit there and say mankind again, because then it's like, well, what about women? What about kids? What about minorities? What about animals? It's like, okay.
So Picard ended the bullshit and said, where no one has gone before, bitches.
What they cut out was happy.
Is that okay?
Yeah. And then the next sound was the ping. Drop the mic after that.
I mean, that's really all he said. And
I'm really happy he's writing the script. you know, he's co-writing the script for the third film because he is such a hardcore nerd about Star Trek.
And I think he's going to bring a little bit more comedy to it too, which which should always be there. But I don't know. I did say when I watched the second one, when I was done, I said, look, I'm liking these movies. I don't mind how they made the ship look, because I get it. You know, it's a 21st century. It can't look like it looked back then.
Right.
You know, it just wouldn't make any sense. 21st century in real life, by the way.
Oh, I'm writing him now. It's 23.
I mean, so it makes sense that it looks a little, you know, a little more visually impressive and stuff like that. And all the sound effects are the same. The sound effects would have got me more. If they changed the way it sounded, I would be pissed off.
Yeah, I got to admit that I was actually really happy when I heard, like, the klaxon and the phasers. The whistle or the warp drive, where it was all the same kind of sound effect. You're like, oh, cool. You know, that got me more. That made me feel better than, you know, the ships being different.
But I did say, if they don't get away from Earth, third one, I'm going to be upset. Because, and I remember talking to someone about this, and he said, well, Vulcan's, I'm like, actually, Vulcan isn't that far away from Earth.
Yeah.
They're relatively close. They're in the same sector. So that doesn't count. And like I said, there's nothing there anymore. So they went to nothing.
Right.
So I really want, and I know there's been rumors about the Klingons coming in, and I actually doubt that the Klingons will be the main threat in the next one, because the tone would then yet again be
dark,
very dark, because the Klingons do not fuck around,
right?
You know, so, and I love how they did the Klingons in that little bit in the second one. Yeah. I thought they dope as shit.
Oh yeah.
So I was like, okay, cool, I'm looking forward to that, but I think that should be put on the back burner for maybe the fourth flick.
We'll have the Tholians,
yeah, something like that. There's obviously going to be fucking spaceship fighting, like, obvious, but I think there really needs to be a more complex story, and not just a complete rehash of something that already happened,
or maybe, like, introduce the Romulans at this point.
I don't know, that's a little early on for the Romulans, isn't it? I mean, I know in the timeline the Romulans existed before the first. Yeah,
but in the within the first season of the first series, they introduced the Romulans. They hadn't seen the Romulans in like over 100 years or something like that, and then they saw them and they realized that they looked like Vulcans.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But I don't know. It's all speculation. Like, at this point, they keep a pretty tight lid on the fucking Star. I'm surprised.
Yeah,
I know more about fucking Star Wars movies that aren't going to come out for 5 years than I know about Star Trek movie. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Another one, another tidbit that came out over the last week was, somehow again we're hit with this, that Paramount or CBS is looking to do a new Star Trek TV series. Well. As people love to think that Latino Review is like the end all be all of good leaked news, they have not been right for a while. they're claiming that they have, you know, that they have an exclusive report saying that CBS is looking for a new series. Well, the thing is that IO9 actually dug a little deeper and said, hey, their exclusive is wrong, because they're basing it on a report that was 10 years old. And 10 years ago, there was a pitch for a TV show called Star Trek Federation, which was supposed to be about a young Alexander Kirk. And he was supposed to be the only hope for surviving a massive new threat for the Federation. And to be honest, you know, it was supposed to be set. What was it supposed to be set up in the same timeline as, like, after Deep Space Nine and Voyager, I think.
Yeah.
And there's no way they're going to do that. At this point, it's going to be all new series. It's going to be all rebooted series. And as far as the movies go, I doubt that they would do another Star Trek Enterprise movie in conjunction with the actual films. So I'm pretty sure that this is a false deal. As much as a lot of people would like to see a Star Trek one, I think we're going to have to wait a little while before that happens.
You know what I would like to see? I would like to see CBS sell Star Trek to somebody else. Because I feel that CBS in recent history, CBS or Paramount, whichever one is pulling the strings.
Well, it's Paramount.
Missed opportunities.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too, is that I don't see CBS actually pushing for that because their network is totally not. I mean, yeah, they have Supergirl coming on there, but I really don't see them pulling. Because, you know, for those of you that know, the original Star Trek series was on NBC. Yeah. And it's done by Paramount, or was at the time Tessie Liu. But, you know.
I just don't think CBS, their heart is in it.
Maybe UPN's coming back.
You know what I mean, though. Like, imagine if, you know what? Fuck it. I'll say it. Imagine if Disney acquired Star Trek. Imagine.
Oh.
Now, of course, fans would probably shit themselves at first. But imagine what they would do with that. Look what they're doing with Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know, and I just feel like a company that values science fiction and fantasy a little bit more would give it more credit than it's due. You know, I think that, I mean, look at Enterprise. And as soon as Enterprise started becoming a good show.
Yeah, it got yanked.
They cancel it, you know, and it's, I don't know. I don't know. The movies are cool, but of course the movies are cool.
Right, right.
You know, because they're fucking action movies and they got cool actors in them and shit. But a TV show is a whole different thing. And I remember when Enterprise was canceled, I was like, wait a minute, there's no Star Trek on TV? My entire fucking life there was Star Trek on TV.
Yeah.
You know, and I was confused and a little cold. Yeah.
I felt violated at one point.
Yeah. And let's remember when Enterprise was canceled, Netflix wasn't around yet.
That's true.
So I was like, wait, no, I can't watch fucking Star Trek.
This fucking sucks.
Two of the greatest shows that UPN ever canceled, Star Trek and Homeboys in Space.
I knew that one was coming.
That show is so fucking horrible, dude. Someone asked me once because I was talking about it. And he goes, oh, I never saw that. Maybe I'm going to check if it's on Netflix. I'm like, Homeboys in Space isn't on Netflix. Give me a break.
They burst their shit time once they canceled it.
they pissed on it first.
They erased the tape.
That was such a horrible show. You know what's funny is they promoted it as like a show for black people, like the Wayans Brothers or something. Right. You know, but I mean, the Wayans Brothers was an excellent TV show. Homeboys in Space was literally black exploitation on the worst level. Oh, yeah. It was just so bad. I still watched it because it was in space.
Right.
It's really all you needed back then for me to watch your show. But Homeboys in Space is coming back. They're going to reboot it, dude. I'm telling you. Will Smith, Samuel L. Jackson, and Denzel Washington.
Denzel Washington, Jesus. All right. Well, let's get into Encounter at Farpoint.
As you can see, my complex notes.
Yeah.
Now, real quick, when we first started doing this, I suggested to Steve. I said, "I'll make, you know, I should make a template for show notes." And he's told me, he said, "No, we don't really need that. I mean, we're just gonna." I'm like, "Oh, okay." So then, what does he immediately do? Make a really good template for the podcast and then fill it with tons of notes. I'm like, this fucking glory fucking hog dick. I knew it. So he has all these great notes, and they're fantastic. And then my section just says, oh my god, Star Trek.
Well, the thing was, is that at the time I was like,
explain your fucking treachery, Judas.
I actually thought that, like, oh no, it'd be just us kicking back talking about Star Trek. But as I was watching it on Netflix, I was like, fuck, there's a lot of shit going on, and there was like, I don't want to kind of miss anything, so I started taking notes on my phone and just started putting them on there and doing that. And then
that's the way anyone should be watching Star Trek, is taking notes.
Right. Best comebacks, best lines if you want to just be utter dick. Yeah. Or if you want to look like a total badass, you just wait for one of those lines to drop.
Really, why I was, there was such a strong focus when I was in school on American history, but no Star Trek class. I really don't know.
And so I just started taking all these notes, and then I thought, Well, I should put the, you know, wiki up because we want to see, like, you know, for some things that maybe, you know, we want to know behind the scenes, and that it just kind of developed from there. And afterwards, I was like, fuck, we kind of do need ones.
So I have decided, and I didn't tell Steve this because I decided it about 3 seconds ago. Before we get into our dissertation, I'm just going to give an overview of what the show, not the ending and shit, but just what the show was for, basically. Now, this one's going to be a little dumb because it was the first episode. It's obvious what it was for, but you got to do it every episode. So, right. So this was the pilot. Basically, we're being introduced to the characters, being introduced to the ship, which is every much of a character is in Star Trek as any one of the people. Very diverse. It puts the diversity's on a different level, I think, because you have Data and you have a Klingon, which they were at war with in the original series and stuff like that. We're learning about Picard and how he's different from everybody else. And basically they're going to this place called Farpoint, which is a station. They've built this station to service Starfleet, but it all seems a little bit too perfect. So there's something going on. We're also introduced to Q, which is a godlike creature. He's also a dick who puts humanity on trial as a savage, barbaric race that should go back. And he's basically trying to force them to go back to their star system and stop fucking around. So that's it. That's what the episode is about without telling the ending. So
A lot of the funny thing about this episode was because it was primarily a lower budget comparative to the rest of the series. They actually redressed a lot of, like, the Enterprise bridge was the battle bridge from Star Trek. The battle bridge was the bridge from Star Trek 3.
Yeah.
Search for Spock, a redressed engineering set came from Star Trek 3. So, yeah, there was a lot of that. And also some components and characters like Riker and Troy and all that were used from the unrealized Star Trek Phase 2 series that was supposed to happen with all the original actors until they became until they did Star Trek the Motion Picture.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of stories that came off of that were seen in the new series. So yeah, it was kind of like a new series, but kind of old at the same time.
There's a lot of carryovers from shit that never happened.
And Riker without a beard is weird.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah. So, this was one of the few episodes that didn't have a cold opening, didn't have that teaser. It went right into the credits because it was originally shown as a 2-hour movie and it was syndicated right off the bat. And actually, the premiere episode was the highest rated show of all four networks at the time. So
that's right. Fucking learn your place.
Exactly. and it's funny too, because the main theme of the show was actually used in Star Trek the Motion Picture, which I always thought was odd.
Yeah. They should have had the new one ready.
I mean, of course, yeah, we can't have, you know, it's been a long road.
That was the worst Star Trek theme ever.
I mean,
getting from there to here.
Yeah.
The visuals of that opening were kind of dope.
Right.
But the song was just bad. And in 4 seasons, why it wasn't changed, I really...
Yeah.
I think that's why it was canceled. Somebody, one of the fucking higher-ups in the network was watching one of the latest episodes of the 4th season. Are you still using that fucking song? Oh. Like, seriously? Get the fuck out of here. You're done.
Yeah, you're done. All of you, out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so one of the things I noticed early on was, you know, women wearing skirts, not quite as progressive, you know, and a lot of guys wearing skirts.
Yeah, that was odd to me. If it almost felt like they just ran out of costumes.
They ran out of pants.
And the first dude, and it's background people, but the first dude that you see in it is like a buff motherfucking dude. Yeah. Like it's not a small dude.
Yeah, he's a buff dude in the gold.
And he's walking like, what the fuck?
Yeah. He's got that swag when he's walking.
And it just isn't working because he's wearing a fucking dress.
Right, exactly.
And it's And it's one of the few episodes too where Troy is not showing cleavage.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Because the cleavage was very pronounced in later episodes. Because she was one of Star Trek's like that. There's always a hot chick.
Yeah.
You know, and TNG actually had how many hot chicks were on the well, three when Yar was there, because Yar was pretty cute. And then there was Crusher and then Troy. But I guess the quote unquote hot chick was always Troy, because you know, the hot chick was usually useless, and she was kind of useless.
She was like the Sigourney Weaver of Galaxy Quest.
That's cold-blooded though.
But she was also hot,
right? Yeah. Now
I may have a stupid job, but I'm gonna do it.
Now Steve and I were talking about this too. Gene Roddenberry, we love him, of course, creator of Star Trek. He did the final draft of this script with DC Fontana. Now, there was a controversy, and this carried on for a few seasons until his unfortunate death. And a lot of people speculate it's because his health was failing that he wasn't really thinking clearly. And it's understandable. I mean, he had diabetes, and there's a lot of shit that was going on in his personal life. But he wanted no personal conflict between the crew.
Yeah.
And that the writers basically were like, what the fuck? Because you can't – there's no drama then.
Yeah.
You know, all the drama is going to be from an external outside source.
Yeah. It's going to be external.
So I agree of that general idea only because they're a crew, so they should be working well together, but there should be something. There should be some kind of tension going on.
I mean, you know, you have the professionalism of doing your job, but at the same time, it shouldn't be all just like, oh, we're all holding hands singing Kumbaya.
Especially when you have not only a bunch of people from different places, but you have aliens that have completely different ways of approaching life, and there should be conflict. It's right. Just gonna happen.
Exactly. You
know? And Starfleet is the thread that holds it all together.
Right.
And you see kind of after the, I want to say he passed away in 91, I think.
Yeah, but he was already off the series. He was already off the series by then.
I think somewhere around the fourth, after the fourth season, maybe mid-third season.
Yeah.
Shit started getting a little more deep, and people started arguing a little bit, like, hey, fuck you, asshole. That kind of shit was going on. But the Stardate was, by the way, there's a couple Stardates given because it was a couple days, but the first one was 42353.7. So, just want to throw that out there so we know where the fuck we're at.
So one of the first scenes you see in the is Picard walking through engineering. Now, if you notice in this episode, they don't really have any action in engineering. It's a lot of kind of just motion shots with like a voiceover over it. You know, like you have Picard, he walks kind of around the warp core, and then Worf haphazardly kind of walks in there and talks to some dude with an iPad. And
I think the opening was very much an introduction of Picard.
Yeah, but the thing was is that I remember reading that when they did the initial script, they realized that they didn't have a scene in engineering. There was no engineering scene, so they threw it in there. Yeah, they kind of just built this mock-up and then just had it kind of there and just through Picard walking through, and that scene with Worf, because you know, no action, no verbal dialogue, no scene actually takes place there.
No, he just walks through.
Yeah, and the scene with
Worf, we made the set, guys.
But the funny thing is like Worf kind of goes through there, but it's an awkward moment. Like, and that scene that happens later on in the episode where Worf goes down, because remember, Picard gives that order to not use any intercoms or anything like that, so Worf has to physically go down to engineering, but like a schlub.
it makes it even more awkward. Out of all the people they could have thrown in that scene, why was it Worf?
Yeah.
He's what, second security officer? Like, I can't remember. It was lieutenant at the time, I believe. He wasn't chief of security at that time. Yar was. Yeah. Like, why don't you use that time to introduce LaForge?
Yeah.
Which I think the Forge at that time wasn't cheap of engineering either.
There was no cheap engineer. They had some. No. Remember later on, it was some old white fat guy.
Yeah, he was like the one who would speak for them all the time, and then he was fucking quickly ushered off.
Yeah.
Because LaForge was too much of a badass to overlook. One of my favorite characters. That dude always pulling a rabbit out of his fucking hat, hey, dude.
Do you guys remember? I was in Roots. I
bitches.
I need to be down there. I think shit happen.
Hey, don't take my word for it. But you need to check in a book real quick about my skills. No, he was. I think he was one of the best on the show, but... This isn't a topic about an overall fucking synopsis about Star Trek, which I'm trying really hard not to fall into.
Yeah,
but that scene was always the opening for that. When I watched it originally, I loved it, of course. Like I said, I was a young child. But as I watch it now, you just notice that it looked like it doesn't match the rest of the fucking series at all.
Oh, yeah.
Especially, in tone or in anything.
When you go... Because to me, season three was always like there. That's when it got its groove.
Yeah.
In season three. And then when the uniforms changed, you know, from season three on, season one and two always felt a little different from that.
And we have to remember, too, Patrick Stewart, his agent told him this show was not going to last.
It was going to last a year.
Yeah. And he took it just like to take a trip to America, it would seem.
And he lived out of a suitcase, you know. And
exactly. So he wasn't – and his role was great. You know what I mean? But you can definitely tell that everybody was kind of just saying their lines. They weren't really – there wasn't that connection yet.
Right.
And I definitely agree with you. The third season is when that started rolling in.
Yeah. And in like the first, and within that first scene, you know, we get Picard talking about, you know, Farpoint and the mystery, and then Data. It introduces Data into, you know, sneaking. You know, and it gives that learning about humanity bit. You know, where he's like Gumshoe, you know, to Slytherin, you know, that kind of thing. And it's
probably the most interesting character in the entire episode is Data, just because he's so different.
But if you notice Data kind of seemed, while he did have that android quality, he did seem a bit more, he did have a little more humanity to him. Opposed to as he got, for lack of a better phrase, got stiffer as it went on.
Oh, yeah. He had more of a, he seemed more childlike than machine-like.
Yeah.
In the first few episodes. And I'm happy that Spiner kind of twisted that around. I think Spiner did a great job with that character.
Oh yeah, I thought he was
much great. Like everything else in the first season, it hadn't really got its pacing yet.
Yeah,
you know.
And the first episode's always rougher. Then of course we get introduced to Q,
who was excellent in every fucking scene he ever.
Oh, I know. And it was funny because he was originally wanted. I heard an interview with him on The Nerdist, and he said that the producers wanted him for Q. Like, he didn't even have audition.
No audition, nothing. No. He was already cast as it. Yeah. I think it was a perfect choice.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, him jumping from the, you know, where he comes on as the, what was it, the Spanish captain, you know, fleet captain. Yeah. And then, you know,
he's like an perhaps American.
Perhaps you'll know this. You need to get back home to defend yourself from the commies.
All we need is a few good men.
Yeah, exactly. And if you notice, the guy with the red jumpsuit is the first one that gets taken down.
Yeah. Which wasn't a trend that carried into the entire season, right. But I like that it was there in that first episode. Because it definitely, the original series, like if you were in a red shirt, you knew you weren't staying on this show.
And for you long. Weren't Scotty. You were dead.
Yeah.
I think, too,
and my experience with the original series, being my age and my laziness, is not as extensive as TNG. But I've noticed in TNG you start, and this was also later on, you started seeing the colors of the uniforms actually meaning something a little bit more. Like science and medical always wore blue, and command always wore red, and command wore red. Who else wore red? There was somebody else. I think security wore red for a while or something.
In
TNG.
In TNG, command was yellow, ops was yellow, and engineering was yellow. Red was security, and No, it was Command. It was just...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Red was Command, because Picard and Riker always wore red.
Red, yeah. And Security was always yellow.
And then anything technical was yellow, too.
Yeah. Engineering and all of that.
Specific roles. If you had a specific job, right. You wore yellow. Because Data and the Forge and all that. So it started. They actually started paying attention. The episodes that I've seen of the original series, it seemed like nobody gave a fuck.
Yeah.
Like the main characters always wore the same. I think Kirk wore a yellow uniform. I think that's why you said Command at first.
Yeah.
But Red was like the throwaway characters. That's really who it was.
It was Engineering and Security.
Who will always die?
Yeah. Exactly.
Unless you were Scotty.
Kevin Pollak used to do a bit. Where he would do Star Trek and he'd be like, and he would be William Shatner. He's like, Spock, Uhura, Bones, and Ensign Mendez. We're going on the landing party. Gee, I wonder who's going to die.
Yeah. And, Uhura wore red too. Uhura wore red
too, yeah.
That's racist to put her in red. Uhura also the hot chick from the original series because she was looking mighty fine back then.
One of the things that did annoy me when they jumped on when Q appeared was Picard's use of the word costumes.
Even
when we wore costumes like that, it was like, I don't know, it just hit the ear wrong. I don't know.
I think it hits the ear wrong because you're looking at him wearing a costume.
Exactly.
But I think the point that they were trying to make is that anything in the past looks silly.
Right.
Because if we look at how like Napoleon's elite military dressed, it looks fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
But to them it didn't.
Right.
You know, and what we wear, what our military wears now is going to look ridiculous in the 24th century. You know, so I think it was just trying to play on that point, but the way he said it made it sound like so insulting. Like,
And then, go ahead.
No, it's because like that is how our military dresses now. So it's like, hey, fuck you, Picard. You know, watch your tone.
I know, right? Dude, chill out. It would have been funny if Q said, "Okay, first you need to lower that bass in your voice."
Yeah, I'll need you to take the bass out of your voice real quick.
To me, in this first episode, Yar was super annoying.
Yar was usually super annoying.
Yeah, I'm glad Worf became the chief.
But the thing with Yar, though, is I always have to say this. I always thought her character was annoying. But I liked the actress. I think she was a good actress.
She did better when she became the Romulan. When she became what was the name? I can't remember that Romulan character's name she became.
I forget why she even left the show in the beginning.
It was something to the effect that she just didn't feel her character was going to go anywhere, which I saw that too.
Yeah, but a lot of that was the writing too, I think. Yeah. I think she just wasn't given a chance to be in. But the problem too is you had Worf standing next to her the whole time, who looks so obvious to be the, not because he was a man, but because he's a fucking Klingon. Like, of course
he's a Klingon man.
Yeah. I thought Yar was fine. But the sad thing is when her best episode is the episode she dies in.
Right.
You know, there might be an issue there. Not her best performance was when she was given her own eulogy.
Right, I know, right? One of the things that... And this one bugged me, too, because like I was sitting there and I was like, why does the flagship of the Federation have families?
Well, I think it's because it was always... It's not a warship.
Yeah, but you're
right. It's supposed to be a fucking diplomatic and exploration ship that can defend itself if it needs to.
Yeah, but... shit gets real.
No, I agree. I don't think any... I mean, that's like saying you have, like, a fucking modern destroyer and there's, you know, kids running around. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
You know, but I think they did that just for story purposes because now you can do children episodes.
Yeah, but if you notice, though, like, you know, as the series got on, they didn't focus much on that.
No, they didn't at all.
And even when they went from Generations to First Contact, it went strictly back to, like, they got rid of that whole family concept.
And any time there was an episode with children in it, it was more just a Picard episode.
Yeah.
And his challenges with children.
Yeah.
Or it was a Crusher episode.
Right.
Because Crusher loved children.
Yeah.
The only child they really focused on was Wesley, and that doesn't really count.
Right, because he's part of the main crew.
Yeah. acting ensign and then ensign and all that bullshit.
Exactly. Acting ensign and, you know. So in this episode, for those of you that know Star Trek, Miles O'Brien makes his first appearance, but he's not Miles O'Brien yet.
That's my dog. I fucking love Miles O'Brien, dude.
Dude, when they started fleshing his character out, yeah, and, you know,
especially in Deep Space Nine.
Dude. Oh, yeah. You know, you like him. Yeah. Like, he's Irish, you know.
Yeah. I remember the episode, and yeah, I'm going off track. I really don't care. It's my podcast. the episode where he was eating dinner with Keiko, and Keiko's giving him this, like, super healthy fucking Japanese food or whatever. and then the next scene, he's making a potato fucking casserole. And he asked her, he's like, why don't we make breakfast, have some corned beef hash and some bacon? And she's like, for breakfast? I was like, yeah, motherfucker, corned beef hash. I connected with him.
I know, I bet.
He wanted to eat what I ate when I was a kid. You know, it was cool. But yeah, I, first, I mean, I don't know why we're mentioning this. It's the first episode for all of them.
Well, yeah, but, you know, like, Miles...
But he's just too cool not to mention.
He's too cool not to mention because he becomes a big part of the Star Trek universe. You know, he's...
Yeah, he does.
You know, he's the chief engineer of Deep Space Nine, you know?
He was one of those characters, too, that he got very little play in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was just in Transporter Room 3 all the fucking time. And then he started, like, slowly, he had roles going on and more lines. And I think they were sitting on a gold mine in the beginning and they just didn't realize it.
Yeah, and then, when they brought in, you know, Keiko, and then when he got married and just all of that stuff. And then when you watch Deep Space Nine at Picard, you know, being in Transporter Room 3, you know, transporting O'Brien to Deep Space Nine. It's like, that was like, aw, you know, because it was...
He was like the most important secondary character in the whole series.
Oh, yeah.
Him and Guinan.
Yeah.
You can argue, but...
but you know, one thing, and this leads to the reason why he comes up is because they have to go to the battle bridge because they're trying to get rid of Q, get away from Q.
Yeah, he works ops.
Yeah, and which was funny because I'm like, really? You're going to try to outrun something that can do that? Okay.
They just wanted to show off that the damn Galaxy-class starship could separate.
It didn't seem that dangerous to me. Like, they made this whole big deal. It's like, not advisable at any speed.
That's the funny thing. It's always not advisable to separate the ship at warp, but every time they separated the ship, they did it at warp.
Yeah.
I think the next time they separated, like, warp 9.2, I'm like, fuck, Picard, chill out, dude.
Get the shit out of here.
Just to add tension, you know.
Yeah.
But it was pretty big. You got to admit, when you first saw that ship separate, you were like, what the fuck?
Yeah, oh, I know.
It's so dope.
It was, when I first saw it, was like, whoa, that was cool. But then later on, as you look at it, you're like,
it's not necessary.
It's not one. Yeah, one, it's not necessary. And two, okay, it's to separate so you can get people out of there. But why have them there anyway?
Yeah. I think the most necessary, the two most necessary times separating.
And then put Worf in charge of the saucer section. That was a...
You need to put him in charge of the battle bridge.
Exactly.
But the only two times it really made sense to me, unless my memory's failing, is when they did it with the Borg.
Right.
Because they were trying to make two targets. It was a risk, but it worked. Yeah. And in the movie.
Yeah, Generations.
Like in the movie was when they really made sense to do that.
Yeah, that was... In the movie, that was really cool when they did it. And then when it crashed and all that, just to blow up later on. But, you know...
Still,
yeah.
We're saving lives. Yeah.
What I liked was there was one part where Yar goes, I suggest we fight. And then he looks at her and he goes, fight an enemy that can do all of that? But I'm willing to hear your suggestions. I was like, damn. It's like,
it's a straight boss, dude. Like, he's like,
he backhands her, picks her up, and then says, what do you have to say? I'm ready to listen now.
He literally, like, if we translate that into modern don't give a fuck English, he basically said, can you shut the fuck up? Now do work. Like, it was so fucking badass because
sandwich.
it really showed that Picard had control of the fucking situation.
Yeah.
Because most people, if someone told you, Steve, hey, shut the fuck up, but tell me what, you'd be like, fuck you, I ain't telling you shit.
Yeah.
Kiss my ass, motherfucker.
Exactly.
So that was a cool little scene. It also, too, like, That was one of the biggest problems. That really showed off one of the biggest problems with Yar, is that she never thought about anything. It was always like jumping in.
Yeah, I think that was the misconception of a security officer. A security officer is tactical.
Is not an idiot.
Yeah, is not sitting there going, it's not sitting there going, Leroy Jenkins, right.
Now, which would have
been hilarious if you heard Worf do that as he goes into a battle.
Now, they did have Worf when he took over. He did do that sometimes. Yeah. He didn't do it every time. But it made more sense because he was Klingon. That's how Klingons are.
Exactly.
They fight before they think.
Right.
But Picard always kept him on a short leash. Like, hey, fucking chill out.
Puts that little muzzle on him and says, heel.
That's racist. Racist for Klingon insensitive.
Insensitive. I'm going to take those damn Klingon insensitivity courses again. But I remember watching that, though, and he's like, on all frequencies, we surrender. I was like, Kirk would have never surrendered.
But that was a big moment, though.
Yeah.
That was definitely set him apart from Kirk, because Kirk would have flown full head-on first in that fucking barrier, shooting everything. So it was telling you two things. It was telling you, one, Picard thinks things out a little bit more.
Right.
And two, there's going to be enemies in this that are much larger than the first series. They're going to need to be diplomatic and cautious and shit. And they can't just – the Enterprise isn't the most powerful thing in the fucking universe.
Right, right.
Like it was in the original series.
Now, this whole thing with Q, and then, of course, he surrenders, and then the main characters, Sans O'Brien, gets pulled into the post-atomic horror. Now, one of the things that Roddenberry had wanted to do was to strictly do a one-hour pilot. But the network said, no, we want to do a two-hour pilot. Because at that time, in the 70s and 80s, pilots were 2 hours. The reason being was because...
They were a big deal.
They were a big deal, but the reason was is that they could sell them as movies. So they, when they replay them instead of a one-hour series. So they could play them as an independent, a regular film if in case it didn't work. But so the whole
Q, I didn't know that. So it was like a fallback plan.
Yeah, and the whole Q plot was actually put in to make the episode longer.
To connect the, yeah, okay, that makes sense.
It was basically done as filler, because if you really look at it, the story doesn't get going till almost the second half.
Yeah, that's true. It's a lot of sitting around and trying to figure out what they're doing.
Right. So now you have Q in his iconic garb. As he comes out, that judge's outfit he comes out in,
I thought it was an interesting choice, because Star Trek has always, before TNG, painted a positive view of the future.
Mm-hmm.
But in that episode, they brought it to a point where it was not very positive for humanity. Like, right. Shit was fucked up. And I thought that was a really interesting choice. When I go back and watch it now that I'm older, I'm like, fuck, that's kind of deep. Like, because shit gets worse before it gets better, right?
Right.
And I thought that was pretty interesting. And they talking about drugs and fucking all this deep shit. But I don't know, man. That episode was cool, too, in that scene. Because Q's accusations are not completely false.
Oh, no, they're not.
And it kind of makes you think, like, fuck, we kind of are shitheads, aren't we?
Yeah.
Because he's talking about us. He's not talking about Picard and 24th century humans. He's talking about us.
Right, yeah.
So it's like, damn it, dude.
Yeah, he's making that social commentary on how we are.
Yeah.
Then,
a lot of shit talking in this episode.
Exactly. So we have that. But I have to admit, when they did that little... I gotta love that Tasha Yar stunt double. The hand strategically goes up to block the face, that really bad blonde wig, and does that little scissor kick.
They should have just put a man in there. Like, it looks so bad.
It reminded me of, like, I'm Gonna Get You, Sucka. I don't know if you remember that movie, but when these two characters were... were in this diner, and then this guy goes to rob him, and the girl's mom or the guy's mom is right there. She's like, don't you hold a knife up to my boy. Suddenly she starts doing all this kung fu shit, but it's a seriously bad stunt double. Like, you see the guy's face with a black mustache doing flips and shit, and it's obvious, like, you see it full on, like, they're not trying to hide it. It's
they made that joke in Black Dynamite too a couple times where it's just painfully obvious that it was somebody else.
Exactly. So, you know, it's just like, oh man. But yeah, so it was funny with that whole bit. And then once they get the cue, says, you, this mission you have to Farpoint is your test to prove you're totally evolved, and it will, you know, reserve judgment until then, because Picard says that we attest. And you know, you can see early on Q's interest in humans.
Oh yeah,
you see it early on. And so he so this is their test. So now they continue on to Farpoint. And then right at that point is when
I think Q character knew from the beginning that they were going to pass the test.
Yeah.
He just wanted to see how they were going to do it. Yeah. And Picard has played on that a few episodes, is that their interest in them is because they have morals.
Yeah.
They have a moral center, and the Qs don't have it because they don't need it.
Yeah.
And why, when you're that powerful, why do you need morals?
Yeah, when you're omnipotent, you can do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you have the apple scene at Farpoint where you get your introduction to Riker. And, you know, he passes.
When you know something's fucking going on down in that spot.
It's like, oh, you don't. Oh, an apple would have been good. Oh, there's another
whole fucking bowl of
apples right here. That was there a minute ago. It was funny because the guy that plays Zorn, his voice, if you've watched any 80s cartoons, his voice supplies some of the characters.
Yeah.
He was huge in that, like Transformers and, like, I think in Thundercats and He-Man, he was a voice actor at the time. And I remember listening going, why does that voice sound familiar? And then later on I pieced it together, like, oh shit, yeah, he was a voice actor. You know, he's in the, and I would watch him in, like,
that could have been a crossover opportunity. They get to a planet that's the Thundercats planet. That could have been that's an opportunity.
It was a missed opportunity, right there. Yeah, exactly. to me, Will Riker seemed the only natural person that, like, everybody else was a little stiff, you know.
Especially Crusher.
Oh, yeah.
In the scene where they were going through, like, the promenade or whatever in the city,
yeah,
she looked like she didn't give a flying fuck what Riker was saying the whole time.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, she kind of says, she apologizes for thinking that she like claimed that he was just trying to look good for the captain. That's why she's bringing up shit. Yeah. But yeah, she looked disinterested. Like, she just didn't give a fuck. And I'm thinking, isn't that your superior officer?
Yeah, exactly.
Wouldn't you at least look at him when he speaks to you? But that was kind of Crusher too. Crusher did whatever the fuck she wanted.
Anyway. Oh yeah.
She was the only one who could tell the captain to fuck off.
And then this is when Geordi comes in. And to give the, you know, he's like, Commander, the Enterprise just, is this a fictional port, Commander? Sorry, sir. He gives it attention, you know. And I was like, damn. Like, homeboy can't just come up and go, yo, dude, Captain wants to talk to you. No, he's got to give official
report. But you know what, though?
And the Hispanic character is the one that gets iced? That's fucking racist.
No, that's progressive. It's kind of that interaction. And I remember seeing that interaction between LaForge and Riker recently when I had rewatched Farpoint, and I was like, damn, he's kind of a dick. Yeah. But then I'm thinking, but they don't know each other.
Yeah.
And Riker has something to prove at this point.
Right.
So it did kind of make sense. Because I think when you rewatch it and you've seen the whole thing, we already know the characters, because everybody got a little bit more relaxed at the end, because they all were friends and shit, playing poker together and all this bullshit. Yeah. You know, so. But yeah, it was kind of funny. Like, is this an official report? Like, yes. Damn.
Yeah, like he's sitting there, like the doctor's already just kind of giving him the cold shoulder and shit. Like, you know, and then all of a sudden, Geordi comes up. Yo, man, Captain's got it. Is this official report? Sorry, sir.
Shit. They should have had
permission to suck the first penis, sir. Yeah.
They should have the force go, hey, what's going on, motherfucking?
What's
look.
What's up? yo, dude.
Yeah, boy. Super, have a clock around his fucking neck. Just super racist about it.
Baseball cap hit to the side and shit.
I always thought LaForge in the first season was they made him look like such a jackass. It was in Farpoint, I'm pretty sure. When they were talking about Riker gave him the idea of basically like stalling the Enterprise and then kicking it in high gear, and then he goes woo wee or something like that. And I'm like, what are you doing, dude? Yeah. Like they made him say little. He was the excitable one, and I didn't think it's like the engineer shouldn't be the excitable one. That doesn't make any sense. That
always struck me as funny, it happened in Best of Both Worlds when they had a coolant leak in engineering, and then he evacuates engineering. The emergency door comes down, and he rolls underneath it when he could clearly have just bent down and come under the door.
He waits.
Yeah,
until the door gets to a certain.
You see him. He does a curve roll.
You see him look back at the door and go, "Not yet," and then just fucking rolls. And it's so funny because every time they had to do that, he rolled under that fucking door, and I can only imagine. I can only imagine he's in the reading and he's like, look, I'm rolling out that motherfucking joint. And ain't no one telling me nothing.
The only one that seemed even remotely cool was in Generations, because he had to literally lay flat and roll under as it was getting there. But
it was because the timing was right. The timing was always fucked up on the show. You could tell he was like, waiting for a cue.
Wait for it, and go now. Okay, you can steer clear of clarity with 3 inches, but you know.
I mean, I know what they were trying to say. Like, it's his engineering room, and he's trying to make sure everyone's out and all that bullshit. Look, when the fucking alarm goes off, move your ass, because that door is coming down. There ain't no bullshit when the warp drive explodes. He shouldn't be having to be there waving you to the fucking exit. You know where it's at.
So Riker goes up to the Enterprise, comes up onto the battle bridge. Picard's a bit of a dick. Like when he comes walking in there, you know, and he's like...
We talked about this too before.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Picard is always a dick. Like the entire crew later on, instead of the people that directly work with him, are frightened of him. When he walks by, everyone's like, oh shit, like they snap to attention.
Yeah.
Not just like when Riker walks by, they're supposed to snap to attention too, but not Riker, baby, because he plays that saxophone or trombone or whatever. He's fucking jamming. Everybody loves him, you know, but Picard was just so serious about what he was doing.
And then did the late, permission to come aboard. Then he barks these orders, and then he's like, permission granted. And everybody's like standing there like,
Yep. Or how he makes Riker, what did he make Riker do? Oh, manually connect the ship for
For no fucking reason whatsoever. And everybody looks at him like, wow, he did such a, like, they're looking at him all nervous. They're the ones doing the fucking work. Like, well, you know, he goes, bring the ship 3 degrees so O'Brien is doing that shit and it reconnects, and they look at Riker like, fucking pimp daddy here. It wasn't like Insurrection, like he fucking did it with that joystick.
And that was badass in Insurrection. You can only see this happening in real life on like a submarine, where the commander takes all the credit and all he did was sit in a chair and tell people what to do.
Exactly. And I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, everybody's looking at him like he's like all impressed, like when it connects and stuff like that. And then the music's all when it's all successful and shit. And everybody looks at him with smiles like, wow, he did it. And it's like, he did nothing. You guys were the ones sitting there.
I do understand why Picard did that to Riker, of course, because for two things. One, he's testing. Testing his first officer. And also deflate that ego a little bit. Let's be honest. Riker walked on that ship like he fucking, his shit don't stink, dude. He's like, I'm going to be captain in about 2 months. Watch.
That old man's going to die of a heart attack. It's going to be my ship, baby. It's going to be called the USS Riker's Joyride.
As a matter of fact, let Picard try to tell me what to do. I smacked that motherfucker in the face. Like, no. I'm laughing so hard I can't even talk. He came on the ship, and he wasn't a dick. But when Riker came on the ship, he was so sure of himself. And he's always had that about him. He's always very sure of himself, which is fine. But Picard probably saw that and said, all right, asshole, then go fucking do something complicated.
And at the same time, he says that Captain DeSoto spoke very highly of him, you know.
So you already knew Picard liked him. He chose him. Right. But he needed to kind of bring him back down to Earth a little bit.
And then
this could be all fucking speculative. speculation and me just giving more depth than the show gave.
And of course, it lays down the whole no captain beaming down rule when Riker and Picard have their one-on-one. So it lays down that whole bit, the children rule, where Picard is inept in areas of children.
Well, the whole I like that they did that with the captain, and of course Picard occasionally, you know, fucking skirted that rule. But that always bothered me about the original series. Why would you have the captain beam down all the fucking time?
Captain and the first officer.
Yeah, like what the fuck? What if these people die? You're screwed. You got second string running the ship. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. And we all know why they did it. Yeah. Because those were the stars of the show.
Right.
You know, and they want them always there. But I think it was a great choice to have Riker be the one that handled business on away teams. And I think his personality suited it better, too. Because Picard only broke the rule when it was like something in archaeology was going on or something silly.
Or he
like
had to head something. And,
yeah.
You know. Then, of course, Geordi's hair clip, where you get that one standalone shot of that beret, that spray painted beret.
You know, briefly, real quick, I just want to commend Steve for his notes, because not only is he more prepared, which is usually how it is anyway, but half of the shit I forgot. I forgot all about that fucking hairpin. That shit was so funny when I saw that. Like, what the fuck is this shit?
And it's just written Geordi's hair clip.
Yeah, that's all bullet point Geordi's hair clip, period. That's all that needs to be said. Did you ever see the test? It's floating around YouTube. You guys can look it up. But there's TNG test footage where they're basically filming each character. I don't think they're all in it, but they're filming the actor in costume at different angles. And look at Geordi's got Jerry Curl, dude.
Oh, wow.
I think it's a different actor, though.
It might be.
But yeah, you got to look that up. It's funny. Data I think half the video is Data, because they're doing different colors of his skin.
Yeah.
And there's a couple times, because you know how Spiner is. He's like making funny faces and shit. Like, shit was so funny, dude. You got to see that shit.
I'll have to check that out. And of course, they do the Passing of the Baton episode. With the Geordi hair clip, which is just a bad 80s beret clip. Oh my god, that shit was hilarious. But, you know, it already sets him up that the visor's painful for him. But they didn't play on that very long. You know, mm-hmm. It became
there the was a couple episodes where he was in sick bay.
Yeah.
You know, something.
And then it was the source of, remember when Worf was traveling through parallel universes? His visor was the source of that tachyon. The magic tachyon.
Everything fucking emitted tachyons.
Yeah.
I think there was one episode where they kind of solved why don't they focus on it more, where Geordi kind of just said, yeah, it hurts, but you know what? I'm used to it, so there's no use in complaining about it. Like, he said something along those lines. So it kind of just made him look like a badass, and also just like,
and then in
why dwell on it?
And then in First Contact, he got cool lenses.
Those were so dope.
Yeah.
Those weren't contact. Those were like, weren't those like bionic eyes or something?
They were contact lenses, dude.
Data lent him a pair of eyes. And they hooked him up.
Because that's how Data is.
I don't mean did the actor replace his eyes. I meant in the show. Those were so dope. When they zoomed in and he was all zzzz, I was like, oh, this motherfucker got that new shit.
What's the next? And then, of course, you had Dr. McCoy. You got the little passing of the baton.
That was cool.
Yeah, with Dr. McCoy and Data.
You treat her like a lady.
Yeah. He's like, I don't see any points on them ears, boy.
God damn, he looked old as fuck, too.
Like 100, like 1,000 years old or something.
I think he was 80, though. Because didn't TNG start like roughly 80 years? Well, in the timeline.
Yeah, but he was supposed to be like 100 and something years old in the show.
Yeah, well, because he obviously wasn't one. Right. But that is true, though. It's roughly 80 years. Yeah. At least that's what they said. But that's crazy, because that's so many fucking Enterprises.
Yeah.
That's four. Four fucking Enterprises in 80-year period. Like, let it go, guys.
One of the things was sad, though, is that he was supposed to be still alive in the future. And basically, when that series pops up, you know, him and Spock are still alive. Kirk is supposed to be dead if you go by generations, you know, by that point. And you're like, oh, and he was the first one to die in real life.
That is kind of sad.
This kind of sucks. You know, but, you know, and he's supposed to be 100 and something years old. But that was cool, and I like that ending shot with them walking down the hallway, you know. And so I thought that was always kind of cool.
I'm surprised, though, that they didn't put Kirk in that. There had to have been something going on. Because you know that would have been cool to have fucking, like, Captain Kirk on the fucking bridge and shit.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean? Yeah, but the thing was is that Roddenberry wanted McCoy.
Oh, okay.
To do that little bit, and
because I know technically, if Kirk did do the passing of the torch,
generations
would have been weird. Like exactly. They would have had to change it, but they didn't know Generations script back then.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of it is also because Shatner probably wanted so much money for that, and DeForest Kelly actually took the bare minimum, like. Well, I'll
just
do it.
Just wanted to be involved.
Yeah, please. Just wanted to be involved and said, like, yeah, okay, we'll do it, and just took the bare minimum to that he would get paid for that.
Shatner's always about that hustle.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then, of course, we get reminded, as they start going through this whole story and life starts kind of going to normal, you get the Q image on the view screen.
Yeah.
And Worf pulls out that fucking phaser, like he's going to blast through stuff.
Worf is... fucking G right there. He didn't give no kinds of fuck. Dude. I'll blow up the fucking ship, homie. I don't give a fuck. I'm from the streets, motherfucker.
But
it's
like, you know, he should have known better. But what's funny was that, you know, he was like, you know, it's okay. You know, Riker's like, it's okay, Worf. You just reacted. He's like, he should have known better. You know, it's like Picard. It was like the stern mother and the like cool dad. You know.
Yeah. What was Oye said? He said, "I'm sorry, sir." And then Riker said, "You reacted quickly."
Yeah.
And then Picard said something like, "Without thought" or something like that. and then fucking poor Worf. And this was the saddest line Worf ever said in the entire show. "I'll try to do better next time, sir." I'm like, to see a Klingon say, "Do better next time." I was like, that's so sad.
It's like you expected to sit back in the ops chair sucking on like a juice box or something like that. Like
based on that one line, I believed his father did betray the Klingon Empire. Fucking just being such a pussy. Then he redeemed himself later in First Contact. "If you were any other man, I would kill you where you stand."
Oh man. And then, of course, in that, you know, they go down to meet with Groppler because Riker gives his reports that, you know, shit was getting weird.
What kind of name is Groppler, by the way? Yeah,
Groppler Zorn.
Like, no, just Groppler. Like, what the f- yeah. That wasn't his name. That was his title.
Yeah. Well, what's funny was that they make the use of the, at this point, unseen Ferengi. And it's like, well, let's hope the Ferengi find you as tasty as their other, whatever, as their other associates. I was like, fucking, they're cannibals? What the
fuck? Well, I know that it's, and this is in canon, that children used to think that Ferengis were cannibals because their teeth were so sharp. Like, it was a myth, like a scary story to tell. That's actually in canon. And the people who found that the most funny were the Ferengis. That's also, because they eat like, they eat like grubs, I think. That's the only meat they eat. And then they eat vegetables and shit. But this episode, just the hint towards Ferengi is because, and as you know, most Star Trek fans know this, the Ferengi were supposed to be a very aggressive force throughout the series.
They were supposed to be like the new Klingons.
Yeah, but that was changed.
So. Gladly.
Because Ferengis didn't start becoming really cool until, I would say, like, the later seasons of TNG, and then especially DS9.
Space Nine, yeah.
Yeah. The fucking creeping around like little goblins thing just didn't work out.
Man, I know. They're like 4 feet tall, and you're like, really, you're going to try to threaten Riker, who's like...
They were way more threatening when they started acting normal.
Yeah.
Because they controlled shit. Like, they were wheeling and dealing, and they were really smart. But when they were trying to make him look physically aggressive, it's like, get the fuck out of here.
I know, right?
Little gremlin-ass motherfucker kicked in the face.
So, Picard senses something's going on, that the Groppler's hiding something, and Troy's sensing this. At this point, we still find that she's a useless character to have.
Because she doesn't know anything. Like, she always senses something, and then they go, oh, okay, explain. And she goes, I don't really know.
I can't. I just.
It's because I'm half human, and that half is useless, so I can't really think, you know.
My breast sense.
My breast can tell the weather.
It's cold.
So she was hot, though, I assume.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But Picard assigns Riker a mission to go down to the surface and assemble an away team. So, of course, this is Riker's first interaction with Data, but Data's in the holodeck. So he's trying to find Commander Data. And then so he asks this crewman to show him how to, you know, to use the computer. And, you know, basically the computer Siri. And
because at that point, the Enterprise computer was like brand new, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it was able to locate everything. He demonstrates in front of her, or she demonstrates in front of him, but she, like, her eyes on him were like,
hey. Yeah, yeah, well, wasn't that every broad on that fucking ship? if it wasn't the only broad that didn't want to suck some Riker dick was Crusher. That because she wanted that Picard pole, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, this and then when he leaves, she turns and watches him walk away. I was like, damn, she wanted that first officer Pip really bad.
Pip, pip, motherfucker. I think they were trying to concrete that he was going to be the heartthrob in the show. Like, he was going to be the lady killer. I think it was an interesting choice, too.
The thing was is that they could have just had her just as she's showing him stripping down in front of him.
She. I remember that scene, and I'm starting to see it more vividly now that you bring it up. There's a point. And this only really happens in movies. It doesn't really happen in reality. But there's a difference, and it's it's easy to cross this line, but it's not a slight difference. There's a woman wants a dick, and then there's a woman craving a dick. Like, and that chick, she started at wanting the dick, and then all of a sudden she was like, if I don't jump on his balls in the next 5 minutes, I'm going to die. She was craving that dick.
Oh my God, I know. So he goes to the wrecker in the cut shot. He gave her the D.
And then after the porn crossover.
Yeah. And then, you know, after everything was done and he's dipped right afterwards, he went into the holodeck. And so this is where we actually first see the holodecks. And, you know, it's the whole like.
I thought that was a cool introduction.
It was a great introduction of that. You're kind of like, whoa, that's fucking cool.
How's he in a fucking forest all of a sudden?
I know. It's like, and it's like, damn, how big is that ship? And one of the things that I found was interesting was they always mention this later on about the safety protocols in the holodeck.
Yeah.
Yet when he's crossing, there's that one rock that rocks when he's standing on it, you know, that it could lead to him falling into the water, which Wesley does fall in later on. And I'm like, wouldn't the safety protocols prevented that from happening?
Well, no, because you have to – that episode where –
No!
Where
he, no!
Shut up, because I looked this up once. That episode does have what's considered a continuity error because Crusher walks out and he's still wet. He shouldn't be because the water is simulated. Now, a lot of people have said, oh, well, the holodeck just used replicators to make real water. I'm like, what a waste of resources. That doesn't make any sense. But you have to remember in the holodeck, you're not technically moving up and down in a lot of respects. So the safety protocols, you think you're on a rock, but you're really not. That's how people have explained it.
Well, I've seen it where it's supposed to be like you're on a treadmill. And the simulations around, this is us nerding out right here, is the simulation around you moves. So my question to that is then how can you have three different people in three different areas if you're all on the same treadmill?
See, so I think because the holograms and the holodeck have mass, simulated mass, so you can touch them and interact with them. That's obvious.
Okay.
So the treadmill thing, yes, because it's obviously not making a planet inside this tiny ship. But I think where – and this kind of completely devalues what I just said about the fucking rock, so I don't know what I was talking about then. I think the area in which you are in, it gives mass to what's there so you can interact with it. And then as you move on, it just recreates everything. It's kind of what it, it's kind of common sense to look at it. But, you know, I'm just a pitiful born in the 20th century human. I don't know. I explained something and then explained it away in the same fucking breath. 2 minutes. Let's move on.
Then we, you know, we come to that infamous scene where Data's whistling and he can't hit that last part, and then Riker does, and then you get the Pinocchio reference.
I thought it was a good I thought out of all the characters, he was introduced the best in this episode.
Oh yeah.
Data and Riker, I think those two. Riker had some funny moments, but I think Data was perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
Trying to whistle, like, just, he just longed to do human things.
One of the things that I also noticed, and I remember when I first saw it, the holodeck concept was fucking amazing. It still is. It would be awesome to have that. I noticed that Wesley wasn't really portrayed as the whiz kid.
No,
like we saw in, like, the later episodes and stuff.
He's just he wasn't dumb, but he was just a kid.
He was a kid with, like, he'd be like a techie at this point. Because, you know, when he goes on the bridge and he starts, you know, oh, you have this and this does this. And, you know, it's like, yeah, he'd be like what we would be right now.
It's like, cool, he read a pamphlet, but that doesn't mean he's a fucking genius.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, he saw a YouTube
Although
video,
Picard really. Was impressed. Picard was impressed by that later on.
Yeah.
So maybe it wasn't common knowledge or something. Yeah. Who fucking knows? He saw a YouTube video. He wasn't. In later episodes with Wesley was always the one that was coming up with the fucking crazy inventive idea, and he wasn't even in Starfleet yet.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, he was just portrayed as Crusher's kid. Did they even establish that it was Crusher's kid in the first episode? I don't remember.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because he said Picard brought my dad's body home.
Oh, yeah, they put that in there right away.
Yeah.
To add to the Crusher character and that whole dynamic.
One of the things, then, of course, you know, he recruits Data and they go down to the planet and start looking around. And I love how when they go down there, they're like, okay, we need to split up in groups. One should be up here and the other one should be down there. And Troy's quickly like, Commander, you and I should go down there. And he just, like, shuts it down. He goes, he sends, what, Troy and Geordi, and he goes off with Data. It was like, boom. Shut it down. And then, of course, Geordi does the generic over there point, you know, when
yeah. Geordi was always the funny one. Like, you know, he's like, he would be when he was on the bridge, because he used to work next to Data on the bridge before right. Wesley did, and he would always have something stupid to say, which I thought was funny. Right. But yeah, basically Riker's like, if I want to hang out with the boys, I'm going to hang out with the boys, and you're going to fucking go where I tell you to go.
Right, right.
Like, he kind of beast mode about it, you know? So, that kind of too, but that kind of ruined Troy's character even more at that in that tender first encounter with the crew. Was you were like, God, this chick is just fucking... I felt at that time like, now she's just going to be the one they have to save all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which it wasn't the case.
I mean, right, which wasn't the case. And I think her shining moment was when she, remember when they put her in on the Romulan ship? And she was made a member of the Obsidian Order?
Yeah, oh, no, that was... Moments.
Was that the... No, that was the...
No, the Tal Shiar. Tal
Shiar, yeah.
The secret, like, secret fucking... Secret
it's,
people.
Yeah, like the secret police for the Romulans, yeah.
Yeah, but they do their own shit. Even the Romulans are afraid of them.
Yeah. And it was funny because, like, you know, they go through and they start investigating the stuff. And I love the obvious map paintings below the station in the background, which was the same shot.
We don't even sound like Star Trek fans because unfortunately the first season's the worst season and this show is one of the worst ones of the season the first episode, so it's just funny.
It is funny. I mean, it's not to, and the thing is that you can love something and still pick at it.
Of course
the Star Wars and Star Trek stuff is perfect about it, is perfect, you know, for all of that.
Jar Jar Binks,
yeah, exactly,
bro.
But I was noticing though that in this they never won they never, like, when they call to one another, like, Yar went to Yar to team leader, like, not Commander Riker, like they do in the regular ones. It's like, you know, Yar to Riker, you know, it's like, to team.
Yeah, but they all just met each other though.
Yeah, it's like you still didn't know.
Maybe she forgot his name. She forgot his name.
Yo, tall dude, Yar, the tall dude.
Okay. More proof of a useless character from Yar. Can't even remember their fucking commander's name. No wonder she died. Hey, that episode where she died was really cool, but we won't get into that because that actually comes up pretty soon.
Yeah, I know, right?
They got rid of her pretty quick, so.
Yeah, right. So they're investigating down below. What else happens? Oh yeah. So Riker and Dr. Crusher and Picard actually meet for the first time when she comes to the bridge with her son, with Wesley sitting in the turbo lift. You know, I it's funny, when I was in it's around the, I don't know, it's like in the first year or two Star Trek goes on, I went to Magic Mountain, and I remember waiting in line for fucking Roaring Rapids, and I remember looking across the other way from me and I saw Will Wheaton with two of his buddies there, and I kind of stared, and all of a sudden I was like, oh shit, that's Will. And then he kind of looked at me, and I smiled, and he kind of smiled, and then I just like left him alone, and I was like, oh shit, that's Wesley. Wesley's right over there. And
hey, what's up with your mom? No.
Yo, say hi to your mom for me.
No, you know, when you first saw,
he might have been. He also there. Chris Hardwick might have been there too.
You never know.
Yeah.
When you first see Crusher on the show, this is what happens, right? And it's something that the first series didn't have. It gave all men a choice. Are you on Team Crusher or on your Team Troy?
Team Troy.
Which one do you think is the hottest on the show? Now, of course, that's not their intention, right?
Right.
But which team were you on? That's the real question. And I was on Team Crusher all day. All fucking day. All day and all night.
I was on Team Picard.
Yeah, everyone was on Team Picard. I was on Team Data, though.
I wanted that first officer pit.
That's right.
My God.
Anyway.
I was on Team Worf.
I was on Team O'Brien.
We were all on Team O'Brien. That's beyond.
That's true. Oh my god. So this unidentified ship approaches, like four times bigger than the Enterprise,
and it looked like a UFO. Like it looked like a
Roswell.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck is this? And when you first see the show, you have no idea what it is. They did a good job in that. Like you had no fucking clue. You know, it had something to do with,
I mean, I first thought, like, is that a weather balloon?
You knew it had something to do with what was going on the surface, but you didn't suspect what it was.
Right.
Which was pretty good.
Yeah. So yeah, the ship comes and then starts firing on the old abandoned city on the outskirts.
Right, not the new station.
Right. So you see bad models exploding. So
you expected to see Godzilla come out from the back.
He's like, ah! A big rubber foot come down, slam on it. It was funny because, like, you know, Riker decides to stay on there with Data and send the rest of them back to the Enterprise. What's funny in that is that Riker never used names. He said you. Like,
well, he was new.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, it's like you would respect, you know, it's like going, you and I will go this way. The rest of you go back to the ship. It was like, can't use Data. He said that also earlier on when he was like, you and I will go this way, which is to Data. You know, and it's like, the writer get lazy?
Like, wait a minute. Did Riker ever use names on away teams?
He did, but in that first episode, he just kept saying you. Because for some reason, it seemed like the writers didn't know who they were going to choose to go down there. So let's just put you in here.
Maybe it was. Maybe those scenes were a little bit more ad-libbed. And Riker was just kind of, you go over there and you go over there.
I don't know. Yeah, hot tits and a short blonde. You guys go back to the ship.
Or maybe it's just because Riker's a fucking boss. He don't need to say anybody's name. He does what he wants to fucking do.
And then
I don't know. Maybe honestly though, maybe the writers made it felt that that made him sound more like he was in control of the situation. Like he, because it's like, Data, can you go over here? And, you know, and now he's like, you and you, go this way. You know what I mean? He's just an asshole, doesn't know anybody's name.
Everybody was kind of a dick in this one. and then Troy's outburst, like, but you might get hurt. It was like, oh, shut up.
He shut her down, too.
I know.
I was like, I remember that. I'm like, why is this bitch even here?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, do you realize? Like, and did she even have a rank? I know there was a
Well, that went on for a long time until
you. It was an episode where she tried to go for a command rank or something like that. Like a lieutenant
commander rank. I think she had to take a test for that or something like that. But yeah, it took like 4 seasons to find out she was lieutenant.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she wore the tunic for a while. Where that big blue stripe got even bigger sometimes.
But then now, I don't know, I forget if this happened in TNG, but in the books now, she's a diplomatic officer or something like that. Well, that makes sense then.
Yeah.
You know, but like they didn't give her, she's just a broad that sat on the bridge. Yeah. Like if you really, she sat on the bridge on the left side of the captain.
Yeah, I know, it was like.
And she had no rank.
Yeah, it was like, is it that important? Is your stature on the ship that important? No, that actually, be in the back of the bus with the little walking closet / office. That would be
if you really pay attention. The chair that she sat in was not her chair. That chair was for whoever needed to sit there. That was like the guest chair. You know what I mean? Like, because sometimes Crusher sat there.
Yeah,
that was Picard's bitch's chair, dude. That's where he had the girl sit.
And Shelby sat there when
sat there. Yeah. So. And but then anyone else sat next to Riker.
Oh yeah, there was the little
was it the female chair? What kind of sexist shit?
They had that little fold out chair that was on the side of Riker's
little stool where bitches sat.
Oh,
there's a lot of chairs on that bridge,
there was a lot of chairs. A lot of chairs appeared out of nowhere.
Poor fucking Worf had a stand the entire time.
I know. I was like, dude, come on, give that dude a chair. Although he did have a chair in Generations, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get tired. Get old.
I like when Groppler is like, Zorn is calling to the Enterprise, telling her, like, help us, help us. And like, Picard, like, ignores it.
Just cut him off.
Cuts him off.
And that kind of started a trend, because Picard would constantly do that. As soon as someone started whining, like, cut this fucking shit off. I ain't got time for this.
And then, of course, Riker and Data try to talk to Groppler to find out why they're attacking. He's, of course, claiming ignorance. And then he gets kidnapped. and then, of course, Q pops in at the most inopportune time. Now, here's the one thing that struck me as odd. He's over there, you know, they're firing down on the city and you're doing nothing up here. And then Picard goes and talks to Crusher about going down to help the civilians. Now, are they firing on an abandoned city? Who's hurt?
Maybe there were still people in the city. But yeah, they didn't really say. Because
they said they're not firing at Farpoint, they're firing at the old abandoned city.
Because the way it was portrayed was that all the people on the planet moved into Farpoint.
Right. So
to work there and shit.
And if the ship is firing on the old abandoned city, why are they sending medical teams down there?
And also,
is there a tree hurt?
Here's another horrible habit of Star Trek. You have an entire planet and there's only one city. Like they don't. Look at the planet from space and there's nothing there.
Right.
So it's like, damn, these civilizations really suck.
There's no infrastructure going on.
Yeah. Make a train or something.
Exactly. And then, of course, Q uses the Mon Capitan line, which he uses constantly afterwards.
He says it with such fucking conviction, too, doesn't he?
Oh, Mon Capitan. You know? And then, of course, you know, Q gives them clues, as he always does. But this is when he starts showing that interest in Riker, which they use later on.
Yeah. I think he likes Riker because Riker was more reactionary.
Yeah, he was quick to take charge and jump into stuff as opposed to Picard.
Picard would like call a conference and then take all the suggestions, which is fine, you know, but boring.
Yeah. So in all of this, at some point, this is what I always this is what I found funny, and I didn't realize until when I was doing it watching it yesterday, is Riker's getting the whole sick bay together to go down and help the people downstairs. Picard takes a moment out of his time to go down to sick bay and apologize to Crusher for, you know, being short at Wesley and not greeting her when she was there and stuff like that. And then says the line of, like, you know, to request a transfer for her. Because he seemed surprised that he was her chief medical officer. And in my opinion, is doesn't captains always approve who's their officer postings?
Well, she said, yeah, they do. Because she said she had a problem with it, she wouldn't have requested this assignment.
Yeah, and then he said, you requested this? Like, it was a shock to him. Like, you know, and
I don't know. It almost made it seem like he approved it, but then he started having second thoughts. But I think, honestly, you know what it feels like? Because that scene was towards the end.
Yeah.
And it almost was like the writer's like, all right, we're kind of making Picard look like a super dick right now.
Right, let's like, add
let's
something
soften in. Him up a little bit. But that's kind of how it feels.
Yeah. And
he was just trying to keep that line of communication open just in case, if you understand what I'm saying. in case he needed to get his something the holodeck could not provide.
You're like, yeah, I'm gonna see Wesley's mom tonight. That's right.
Hey, Wesley's working the bridge. Hey Wesley, what's your mom doing later, dude? Why don't you make yourself scarce tonight?
Hey Wesley, how long? When are you? When's your shift end? Okay, I'm gonna be knocking off a few minutes early.
If you see a sock on your quarters door, you know what that means, homie. Don't be fucking around.
It's an anti-grav like suction thing attached to the door with a sock hanging on.
That was another thing. One of the most unbelievable things about Star Trek in general was there was the holodeck and no one was fucking on it.
I know, right?
Because I know my species. And if you gave humanity the ability to create women or men, mostly women,
right,
out and give them the ability to interact with you, do whatever you tell them to do, people fucking in that damn bit. That's gonna happen. Well, the closest they got was the episode with Barkley where he was laying on the grass with a Crusher and Troy, like, right. Yeah. Big boss man, dude. Yeah. Like, at least he got the idea.
He knew what to do.
he knew how to utilize that technology. Because I would never leave the holodeck. I'm like, I got a date where at the fucking holodeck, because I ain't fucking with you complicated bitches. I'm going to mess with this chick that does whatever I want in any position.
Yeah. So and then we cut back to the story after Picard decides to show I'm not a complete dick. But I have one. They send Riker and the away team to the alien ship, and it's the same inside as the one downstairs with the same map painting in the background. But the difference is Troy's feeling anger emotions. And then, of course, they discover Zorn inside, and he's being tortured. By the aliens.
By the way, his screams were so annoying. He was overdoing it. It was a Kirk level of overdoing. Like, he was just shut the fuck up.
And then he's like, I don't know what he wants. And then she's like, he's lying. Like, oh, now you tell me this information? Where the hell were you earlier?
I thought they took the phaser out because they were going to kill him.
Yeah.
It's so annoying. Yeah, I know.
Fucking put him out of its misery.
Yet again, fucking Troy in the earlier seasons is so useless, dude. Like, they talked to him multiple times, and she never said nothing. She said that he was hiding something.
Right.
But so was everybody. You know what I mean? So that really doesn't tell you shit.
Right.
Bitch.
So,
I'm sorry, but I read through your notes and I'm laughing. Like, just the wording of these notes.
So, they cut back to the bridge, and Q makes his first appearance at in the Admiral's uniform, which I thought was boss. Like, he has to outrank Picard.
Yeah.
Like, he has to be the highest.
Picard
rank.
Says something like, if you earn that uniform, you would understand. Because Picard always hated when he wore a Starfleet uniform. Like, oh, yeah. Fucking asshole.
Yeah, and it's like, suddenly he always had to be above everybody else. But there was one thing that I had noticed was the shot before that, when Picard was on the bridge, it was him, Worf, Yar, and like two other people on the bridge. So there was like four people total.
Yar was off making a complaint to Starfleet about something.
Right, and then like it cut to the ship, and then the whole grappler thing. Then it cuts back to Picard, and suddenly there's like six people on the bridge. These people just fucking materialize out of nowhere?
Hey, them transporters are real, dude. No joke.
Beam directly to the bridge. Shit, I'm late for my shift. Beam me directly to the bridge.
Dude, I would beam everywhere. Like, I would never walk. Like, oh, shit, I want to go to 10-4 and get a drink. Hey, yo, beam me to 10-4 real quick.
I know. Right? Easy, motherfuckers.
You drink a little too much at 10-4, and I go, make it, I'll be beaming to McCorders, though.
Oh, man. And then, of course, we make the discovery that the station is actually the giant jellyfish.
Which honestly did surprise me. It was the mate, and it might have been because I was young, but it surprised me that, oh, wait, the ship is, the ship and the fucking station are living things. And I thought that was kind of a bold statement from them to make, too, in the first episode. Because they were kind of just saying, like, life isn't always going to be human-like, and we have to respect all of it.
Right, and then the fact that they were... You know, he's like, we fed it. You only gave it enough to survive. And it was torture, basically. Yeah. And so
it hit on some hard points.
Yeah, no, it did. And, you know, like the ship, and you find out that the ship was only attacking because it was trying to free its mate. And it was the one thing that, you know, like, they had said, like, people should evacuate Farpoint. And then they fired that energy into Farpoint to give it energy so it could, you know, leave the planet. But my question was, did the people get off that fast?
Like, my answer is, who gives a fuck?
Yeah, I know.
Because at that point, that's when you really realize that this entire society of people must have been in on it.
Yeah.
They knew what was going on, so fuck them. You know what I mean?
It's like the Germans and the Nazis, you know, Hitler did this, so did all the people know about it?
Yeah, that's true, too.
So,
but yeah, because not only did Farpoint Station transform back into a jellyfish, it left the planet.
I know.
If there was any people in there, too bad for you.
So if you had somebody like, oh, dude, I got to go back and get my TV. And then he went back there, and then it turned jellyfish. Motherfucker, gone with his TV. Like,
all of a sudden, it's the episode where Picard went back to get his saddle and got trapped on the ship.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Like, you fucking fucked up. You should be goofing off.
Exactly. See, you had to get your saddle, right? But you ain't doing that shit again. And then the aliens took off, and then, you know.
It was a shame that they never met that species again. Because you would think that a species like that, they would run into them again at some point.
Yeah, you know. But no, we get the crystalline entity after that on several occasions.
The giant snowflake.
Right. but, so, and then, you know, they pass the test. And that look Picard gives Q for passing the test. Like,
what's up now, bitch?
Yeah, like, it's like, bitch, you got jokes? You got, you know. And
you talking all that shit now?
Yeah.
Motherfucker?
But what's funny is, like, he's a, you know, now that he's passed, he's like, get off my bridge. I don't want you coming back here again.
Now he's a boss. You know,
yeah.
He's like, fuck you.
And he's like, I'll leave only because I choose to, but I don't promise not to return. You know? and of course, at the end of that, you know, everybody's sitting back and like, I hope all our missions aren't like that. I'm sure others will be, what he says. So, it was kind of a cheese ball line that he had give at the end that and then of course the ship warps off and all that stuff, and that's the end of the first episode. Yeah, I mean, it was a rough first episode. And even the episode after that, which we'll talk about next time, was it the...
Should we give like a teaser at least of what the episode is next time?
Yeah, because we know what the episode's going to be next.
Okay, so the next podcast we're going to be talking about the episode The Naked Now, which is essentially an homage episode.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Go look it up. But it just it's an homage episode to a famous episode from the original series. I do feel the original series episode did it a little better.
Yeah.
But it was a fun episode. It was mostly comedy. Let's be honest.
Right, right.
So we'll get to see let's just say Yar's only important role in the show was fully realized in this episode coming up. So it's definitely a character building moment.
Thanks for tuning in. If you like what I'm doing, you have two ways to help out. One, you can make a one-time donation to make this show self-sustaining, or simply feed my pets, either through PayPal, Cash App, or Venmo. Check the show notes for details and links. Or two, you can share us on social media or review us on Apple Podcasts. This will make the algorithm gods promote our show to an unsuspecting public. You can also stalk me on Facebook, facebook.com/thelazygeeks1010. On all our other socials, Instagram, Twitter, Blue Sky, Threads, and TikTok, @TheLazyGeeks. If you're old school, email me at themailbag@thelazygeeks.com. And if you want to read some news, blogs, or some of my other podcast content, check out the blog at thelazygeeks.com. So that's it for me this week. So until next time, to beam up.